If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 24. Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while someone is sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them as well. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the wheat and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and put it into my barn.'" Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants. It becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough." Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, "I open my mouth in parables. I utter things hidden since the creation of the world." Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us that parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." As we come to these parables, let's go to God in prayer first. Lord, as we look at these parables that Jesus spoke, Lord, may they not just be something, again, that was spoken 2,000 years ago, but Lord, may they be something that speaks to our hearts just as well. Lord, may we learn what you would have us to learn this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week, we considered the first of eight parables that are found in Matthew chapter 13. In that parable, Jesus explained the four kinds of responses, three negative and one positive, that people would make concerning the gospel during the period of time between Jesus' first and second comings. Knowing that there's only about a year before his crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus had to get the disciples ready for the task ahead so that when he left, they would be ready to carry on spreading the gospel and growing the Christian community, the kingdom of heaven. These parables are kind of a preview of this kingdom, its growth in the world, and the resistance of the devil, who, as 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, he masquerades as an angel of light. As we saw last week, Jesus used parables so that those who came with searching hearts could learn, and those who came with unrepentant hearts, prideful hearts, those who knew better, be left in the dark. First, he gave the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Like the other parable, the parable of the sower, Jesus first told the story, then later he explained it to his disciples. In Greek, the word that Jesus used, which the NIV translates as weeds, stood for a particular kind of weed. As some of your Bibles may have translated, the word is tare. A tare plant has a stalk and leaves that so resemble wheat that it's impossible to distinguish the two until the seeds, or if you please, the fruit, are produced. As compared to the golden color of ripened wheat, The grain of tare is a slate gray color, and it's also slightly poisonous. For this reason, the grains of tare must be removed before any wheat can be taken or eaten. And this can only be done at harvest time. Sometimes the reapers would do it. If not, after harvesting, the grains would have to be separated by hand. The tares were useless and would be burned, and the wheat stored for future. The picture of a man deliberately sowing tares in someone else's field wasn't made up. It was a rather common activity between competitors or enemies. In fact, it was so common the Romans made a law that made it a crime and had a punishment if you did such a thing. Since this parable is more involved than the other two parables, later when the disciples got away from everybody else with Jesus, they asked Jesus to explain it to them. Before he wrote down the explanation, Matthew wrote once again that Jesus speaking in parables wasn't just something that happened. It had been prophesied hundreds of years earlier. In this case, Matthew quoted from Psalm 78, which was written by a man by the name of Asaph, who was a prophet, and according to 2 Chronicles, was also a seer, as well as a psalmist. He wrote psalms. These things hidden since the creation of the world were the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, which Jesus and John the Baptist had been preaching and was now explaining by using parables. These were things that the Pharisees and those like them just couldn't understand or perhaps accept. Although they didn't totally understand the parable, the fact the disciples caught it, the parable of the weeds or the tares, showed they realized the main emphasis was on the tares, the weeds, and not the wheat. Jesus explained that this time, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of God, himself. Unlike the earlier parable where the field stood for human hearts, this time the field is the whole world itself. The good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom of heaven, for true believers, for Christians. The tares or the weeds are the sons of the evil one, sons of the kingdom of Satan or the devil. All human beings are either spiritual children of God and sons of the kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ, or they are spiritual sons of the evil one. As Jesus said earlier in Matthew chapter 12, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. This parable was a picture of the kingdom of heaven or Christians in the world. Christ is sowing them in various places so that they might bear fruit and witness throughout the world. But the devil is also sowing his sons. If you please, counterfeit Christians in the midst of true believers. The wording in the parable in verse 25 implies that the sowing of the weeds or the tares is a thorough job, not just a few here and there. If you think about it, throughout history, the tares really have outnumbered the wheat by large percentages. Even today, some parts of the world seem to be totally sown with the seed from the devil. The harvest, Jesus said, represents God's judgment at the end of the age, the final judgment, the great white throne described in Revelation chapter 21. The harvesters are God's angels who will execute God's judgment on unbelievers. Just as the human reapers in the parable separated out the tares and then gathered it up and burned them, the angels will separate out the unsaved and send them to destruction. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 describes it this way. God will punish those who do not know him and who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. This everlasting destruction, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, will be in the fires of hell, which, as Jesus said in Mark, never go out. And as he will say later on in Matthew 25, hell is eternal fire. But Jesus' last words were positive and hopeful for children of God. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. When the Son of Man returns with his angels, they will not only harvest the wicked for eternal punishment, but also the righteous for eternal blessing. Matthew 24, verse 31 says, "And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the far winds, from one end of the heavens to the other." Following the harvest will come the long-anticipated, long-postponed kingdom of heaven, in which there will be no evil people, no evil deeds, or even evil thoughts. This is the fulfilled eternal kingdom of our Heavenly Father, whereas Daniel 12 says, "Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." After hearing this parable of the sower, and now this parable of the weeds, the disciples must have been wondering how members of the kingdom of heaven could survive if so many people reject Christ and then were allowed to stay on the earth as a contaminating influence in this kingdom of heaven. So Jesus gave two simple parables about the influence of the kingdom of heaven to show that with his power, even a small group of hesitant, uneducated believers like the disciples could grow and prosper in spite of Satan's opposition and would ultimately fill and influence the whole world in Jesus' name. Jesus began with the parable of the mustard seed. In the Middle East, in Israel, in Jerusalem, the mustard seed symbolized something small and insignificant. But when it grew, it produced a large plant in which birds could sit and rest and roost. The disciples didn't need to have this parable explained. They understood Jesus' point. The kingdom of heaven, though now very small and quite insignificant, would one day grow into a large body of believers with material possessions and influence in the whole world. The second parable, the parable of yeast, was also about this influence, about this small kingdom. In Jewish thought, yeast or leaven, depending on your translation, is almost always equated with evil and sin. The bread at Passover, the bread that we use for communion, is made without yeast to represent sinlessness. So perhaps in this second parable, Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to yeast to shock his listeners, to rouse their interest perhaps, to grab their attention with this unusual and unexpected illustration. The first point of this parable was that just like a small piece of leavened dough or yeast could permeate a large piece of unleavened dough and make it rise, small things could have great influence. Small things can have great influence. The power of the kingdom of heaven is great, greater than its initial size and appearance would suggest. A small part of the kingdom of heaven that is placed in the world is sure to have influence because it contains the power of God's own Spirit. From the small beginning of just Jesus and 12 disciples, look how the influence of Christianity has spread throughout the world. A second point is that the positive influence of Christians and Christianity comes from being within a group or a society. From being within a group. Jesus said that yeast is worked all through the dough to have an effect. In John 17, Jesus said that Christians are not to be of the world, but they are to be in the world. This is the only way the gospel can reach the world. Mark 16:15 says, "The purpose of the church is to go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." It's the teachings of Scripture, God's Word, and the influence of Christians that has gotten rid of slavery in much of the world, has given dignity and equality to women, has changed how children are used and treated. The lives of the weak, the ill, the elderly have been transformed. Before Christianity, they were considered useless and left to die. But with the influence of Christianity, things have changed. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. Paul wrote, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. From these verses and other verses, we see that the elderly are to be treated with respect. The first home for the blind was founded by a Christian monk. The first public hospital was established by a Christian woman in Rome in 300 AD. For that matter, consider the many hospitals and homes for the elders we have right here in Milwaukee. So many are Christian-based. St. Luke's, St. Francis, the Lutheran home, the Congregational home, VMP, which is a Methodist-based organization. When the kingdom of heaven is reflected in the lives of believers, their positive influence will affect the whole world. The life of Christ within believers is spiritual and moral leavening in the world. It is the power of God's kingdom within a believer that makes his witness effective. The parable of the wheat and the weeds. The tares look like wheat, but they're poisonous. Interpretation, the sower is Jesus. The good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom of heaven. The tares are the sons of the kingdom of Satan or the devil. The devil sows counterfeit Christians in the midst of true believers. At the judgment, the tares, the counterfeit Christians, will be thrown into hell. At the judgment, Christians will go to heaven. Parable of the mustard seed, though it starts out small, the kingdom of heaven will grow into a large body of believers. The parable of the yeast, small things can have great influence. And Christians are to be in the world, but not of the world. In the parable of the weeds or the tares, Jesus was reminding his children, us, that we are in the world to make disciples of all nations. But it isn't going to be a necessarily easy task. The world is full of tares, children of the evil one, who, like the Pharisees and the others of Jesus' time, will oppose God's word. Jesus reminded Christians in John 15, remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they'll obey yours also. Christians need to remember, we are actually in a war. We're in a war for people's souls. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning of verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning of verse 10. Paul's writing to the Christians at Ephesus, and he says, finally, to sum this all up, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, our battle, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and if you've done everything, to stand. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are to be wheat, not tares. Something good, not poisonous. As Christians, we are going to be different. Our God is not the God of this world. Our God is the creator of the universe. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Our witness, our fruit must be good and must be seen by those around us. The church, true believers, must be active. We must sow, and we must bear fruit. Jesus was teaching in these last two little parables that we shouldn't be discouraged by size. We may be small as a church in number. We may be small size physically, perhaps in ability. But God can and will use each one of us. We just have to let Him use us in His way and His time as we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. The group of disciples started out small. Most of them were not very educated. And look what came from them. Like the disciples, we may not be great speakers or persuaders. We may not be rich or famous. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and use us, we will be able to affect many people. We may not see the immediate effect, but God's kingdom will not fail. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning verse 10. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning verse 10. Isaiah 55, verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and make it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it, says the Lord. Don't give up. God's word, the gospel, will prosper and will go and grow until Jesus comes back the second time. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we look around, we perhaps at ourselves individually. We don't have many talents. We're not famous. We look at our church. We're not bursting at the seams. But Lord, as we've seen in these parables, we don't have to be big. Don't have to be famous to accomplish your will. Lord, may we be like yeast. May we be like a mustard seed that starts out small, but that grows. Lord, may our lives be a testimony to others about who you are and about the power that you have and that you have given to each one of us. Use us, Lord, to share your word, your gospel with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.